Good evening, Mike. How we doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Clay. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I kind of changed up that intro a little bit.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
30 seconds longer is all, but yeah, I actually do go duck hunting once in a while. So that was me and Ben Johnson. I don't know. I think you met him once. But
yeah, I am.
Hey, Eric, good to see you. Brian, he's tuned in here. You know, we had a really good show last night. So
it was a good show.
We might actually be hard to say. We might actually have a fewer listeners, probably. You know, it was a pretty good show last night. It went 2 hours.
Yeah, well, that's fine. You know, and you held on to everybody, so that was pretty good. It was a very interesting, very riveting conversation. I called you up at one point because I just did ask you something, and I didn't realize that you had it hooked up to the thing, to the microphone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hello, I'm on. So
I'll tell you what. We should start off, though, like we do every single episode. You want to do the honors now?
Yeah, I'll do it. All right. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, man, I watch the news cycle. I try to limit myself. It just torques me off. I'm sure saying you get inundated with it every day at work.
I'm watching it all day long. So, yeah.
And I'm telling you, man, it just to come from every aspect anymore. They really do. I interviewed with a guy the other day on another upcoming project when I went to Atlanta to do that deal. So now I got a new one and we were talking these things. And he said, well, what is the root of this? I said, well, I think it's trifold. I mean, it goes deep, you know, pick your rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But I go, every single day you can see the results. And I said, it seems like we're being hit from every single direction because we are. They've attacked every facet of those of us that love this country and what we're doing and what we're doing to try and protect it. And I'll be honest, we don't have the money the other side does. We don't.
Nope.
Doesn't that make sense? Rich Democrats. That don't
I wish sense. I wish I had the – there's a – picture out there. It's a meme, but it's a picture, but it's been out for a long time. Actually, it's been out since like the 70s. And it's a working class man on one side of the table who's got half a cookie. And there's a black man on the other side of the table who's got half a cookie. And then there's a rich, white, blonde, bald fat cat sitting there with like a stack of cookies, like all the way up to his chest, right? And he's like, and he's pointing to the one guy saying, that guy's trying to take your cookie. and it makes me think, speaking of what you're saying today about one-sidedness and whatnot. So they were talking today about, Haley and Trump in, Indianapolis or Indiana.
Okay.
And, and in MSNBC, cause I got it on, I'm flipping around in the studios cause I got to go back and forth cause I get tired of hearing the same shit. And so MSNBC spent like 45 minutes per segment on this, that, how bad Trump did because Haley stole 21% of the vote from, and I'm like, well, anywhere you go, that means 79% went for the other side. I mean, you can't, I mean, that's spin on another level right there. And I was baffled by that one. I'm like, well, no matter whose side you're on, you got to look at it and go, 79% against 21 is not a loss.
No, so, it's not a loss. Yeah. And let's remember that was up, I believe, New Hampshire. I don't even remember. But a lot of that was Democrats crossing over to vote for Haley.
Oh, yeah, because they
have an open primary there. Yeah. Speaking of President Trump, before we get into what we're going to talk about tonight, he is going to be addressing the 153rd NRA annual meetings in Dallas, Texas on May 18th. So just keep that in mind if you're planning to attend. I'm going to go to that one. You know what? Maybe Guns and 701 needs to go. Maybe you and me and JD, we need to make that a priority and go down to the annual meetings one of these years.
We'll have the tiniest booth, but it'll be nice.
Well, I didn't think as a booth. We'll just go and enjoy ourselves and check things out, make those connections. I don't know if we want to buy one of those booths. I used to work for them guys. I know what they cost.
Yeah, I know. That might be a lofty goal down the road. I always joke around on our Badass of the Week at the end. If you got $5, $10 to spare to help us out with our studios and our cost, or maybe $20,000 if you just got a hole burning in your pocket and you just want to write it off on taxes, we'll take it.
There you go. We'll take it. Yeah, we're not biased towards what we get, right?
No, what I mean,
gold works too. Just send us gold.
Yeah, gold works too. Silver, that's fine. Well, hey, speaking about the before you go on, of course, on the NRA. Well, we got a couple of things on the NRA. Do you want to hit those first, or do you want to?
I guess we could. Yeah, we can do them first. I can bring them.
So all the reform candidates won seats on the NRA board. We're talking about Journey for Fassero, Rocky Marshall, and Jeff Knox. So yeah. How are you feeling about that?
Well, you know, they ran this campaign. If you follow Amaland, and I know you do as well as me, and I believe right. Jamie does too. So Jeffrey Knox is a writer there.
Right.
And they had a big, you know what it shows to me is just how big a platform Amaland really has.
Right.
Because for four unknowns that were not endorsed, you know, here's this endorsing stuff like we see up here in North Dakota. They weren't endorsed by the board. They weren't the handpicked candidates. These guys were four guys out of nowhere. They ran. They did a big campaign on their on Amaland and wrote articles continuously. I mean, they went out and they really hustled for it and got the membership to send in their ballots mm-hmm. and vote for them.
Yeah.
And they won. And, you know, I looked at this list. So I got the list here. I went to NRA's website and got it. You know, just not following the article. So look at this. Ronnie Barrett, that doesn't surprise me. He was the number one vote getter. Ronnie Barrett, Barrett Firearms, and that does not surprise me.
Right.
Philip Journey and Rocky Marshall, excuse me, came in 2 and 3. Jeffrey Knox came in number 5. Now, these guys don't have this guy in here, but Craig Haggard. I know Craig. He's from Indiana.
Right.
He's actually a legislator now out there. But Craig was one of our NRA reps. He was hired even after me. So I got to know him pretty good, was a great guy, former Marine.
Right.
And then, you know, he wasn't moving where he thought he should up within NRA. So then he went over and worked for Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Then he come back. He's now a legislator in Indiana. Solid guy. He right. came in number 10. So when you look at them 10 candidates, you got 5 up there that actually took the top spots, and they were nobodies, really.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Craig was familiar with NRA volunteers such as you and myself, where I started, you know, the grassroots people, and that's probably what got him in. And then there's Dennis Fassero. Is that how you pronounce it?
Fassero. I'll go Fassero.
Fassero. He came in number 16. Not bad out of that top 25 for the 3-year terms. You know, they won 3-year terms. That's what's mm-hmm. impressive. So what I did find interesting, John Siegler and David Keene, both past presidents. And then Joel Friedman, who is also, I believe he's on the board. I'd have to look up what he used to, the position he used to hold there at NRA. But all three of them were not elected.
Right.
They were soundly rejected, actually. So, you know, 4 or 5 guys on a 76-person board, I don't know what they can get accomplished.
I mean, it's like your city council. You could have all the bright ideas in the world, but if you don't have the support of everybody else, you're going to get downvoted every time.
Well, what I do like, though, is that maybe it sends a message to some of these guys. I see some of these names on here, and they've been on there forever. You know what? Time is coming, and change is coming with it. And maybe it's going to be a big wake-up call to them saying, listen, we need to have some changes here. The membership, obviously, is pretty torqued off. I mean, right. They just elected 4. I would put Craig in there. 5 unknowns. That's pretty substantial. I did vote for Craig because I knew who he was, and I encouraged other people.
Right.
And you still have this lawsuit out there that nobody wants to talk about. Yes, there was one decision kind of made, and that's what basically brought it so Wayne LaPierre would step down.
Right.
But that's only phase 1.
Right.
Phase 2 of this starts, July 15th, according to the article. And the judge is going to hear arguments and decide what remedies now are needed to protect the NRA and ensure it won't fall right back into the same traps that allowed the supposed corruption and mismanagement in the past. And, whether it did or didn't at this point, the court has said it has.
Mm-hmm.
Court, you know, this is a civil case. So now the court is saying, now you as an organization, you have to get in touch with your board members. You need to make significant changes to stop this. We cannot have these kinds of things happen, all on behalf of the membership. And I wouldn't disagree with that. You and I, how many times did we have this conversation about the direction of the NRA when I was there and you were involved?
Oh yeah, I mean we've all had those conversations with volunteers and directors and from all the different states. We've every time we had a chance, we all talked about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so they don't go without fault. There was plenty of room for improvements. I think that they were getting overrun by a bureaucracy just as bad as government. I don't know how many times I said that. I said I thought Wayne should have retired years ago. I mean, I've been gone. I retired in 2016. Here it's 2024. I ain't been there for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And I was saying that back then. I was with them for 10 years, and I volunteered before that. So I have a long relationship with the NRA doing something. And they were not the same organization from even the time I got hired in 07 to when I retired. They had changed. So I'm glad to see there's going to possibly be some changes. I think some changes are needed. But without the NRA, if the NRA goes away, your gun rights are going away. They are still, I always say, they're the 10 million pound gorilla in the room that does stop tons of legislation from even coming out of committee, and they still do. The NRA ILA is still doing its job. Remember, that's just a branch of the NRA. NRA is an organization. Well, they're going to be forced to. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Well, no, we've talked about that numerous times. It's like, and the NRA has always had a problem of touting its successes, yes. and getting that message out on what they have done. Everybody just thinks it's just a, you know,
just take your money,
just taking your money, and you're not getting. And you know, as well as I do, is every time you ever set up a booth or set up an event or something like that, you always got that guy that walks up and shuffles up and, you know, and he's always going, you know, they waste so much money sending me all this stuff and, you know, all these things, you know, always asking me for money. And I'm like, well, it's on the back of your card. You can call them right there and have it take that off that list. What? No. Yeah. I mean, it's right there. All you have to do is lift a finger, pick up a phone, and they'll take you off that list. Hey, the NRA, they bought the printing presses that they send all that stuff out. They cut costs left and right by doing it all themselves. They're trying to raise money. When we were doing banquets, our purpose was to raise not money. Remember, we always had that one old guy or girl at a banquet that were always complaining that me and you were talking too much on the microphones and couldn't visit with their friends. Well, you're not here to visit with your friends at these banquets, not at the Friends of NRA, not at the Elks banquet, not at any of those banquets. We're there to raise money for whatever the cause we've got. And you can visit some other time. And if it's too loud for you, then you know what? Thank you for your donation. Go outside, have a smoke, and talk with your friends outside. Because you know what? We're not going to get off the microphone. We're going to continue to talk all night long.
And generally,
always drove me crazy. Always drove me crazy.
I'd always try to get their name. You know, I wanted to visit with them, talk to them. And then I'd go back to the head table and see if they even had a tab or if they had bought anything. Granted, they could have bought a few things with cash, but most people there, you know, we kind of got things perfected. They were running tabs and they were either writing checks or paying at the end. They paid at the end of the night, they paid their tab. And generally, those people bought their dinner ticket, bitched about it. And then didn't spend a dime there.
Didn't spend a dime, right.
Unless it was the $5 gun raffle for the...
Right. Well, that or the penny raffle, you know, or something like that.
You know, so... Yeah, I you know, you got to make money. That's the whole idea. You're doing it to support the foundation and the programs we used to do.
It's like a business. A business out there is out there to, you know, if a business tells you we're not out here to make money, well, then that's not a business.
Well, why would you do it then? You know?
Yeah.
It's like the NRA. Its prime function for its membership is to raise money because it's got a function.
It's got a function.
It's a lot of money to fight these commies.
Because they're not fighting one entity out there. They're fighting a thousand different entities all over the place.
Yeah. And when NRA started, it was about civilian marksmanship. Mm-hmm. That was the basis of it. So a lot of those programs, they still exist. They take money. And that is the primary goal, raise the money. Yeah. And then they've got, I don't know, 400 to 500 employees. It's a big, I mean, think about it. It's a big company in a sense under the umbrella of a 501c. I think they're a 501c4, the parent company, because the 501c3 is a charitable nonprofit, and that's what the foundation was. Anyway, they had to raise money. Second, they had to take care of their members. And I think that gets lost on some of the people up above, but I think the members feel that. which probably is where a lot of these animosity and things come from. They see Alain LaPierre or whoever out there doing this, wearing great suits and running around the country. Well, what would you like your face of the NRA to do?
Yeah. Stay home? I mean, just sit in the background and be a wallflower? I mean, that's not what you want. No. When you go into these situations, when the ILA and all this stuff goes into court and everything, they don't send the wallflowers. They send the bulldogs to go there and get the job done because, absolutely, you know, the government does not have the very best lawyers.
No.
The government does not have the very best people in it. Now, everybody always says, you know, well, I'm going to go into the government section, you know, and work. And I'll say, well, then that means you can't make it in the regular, or you just want to take the easy and try to go for a pension.
And I'm not saying that every government employee is bad, but let's face it. Usually it's your lowest common denominator who's mm-hmm. not there for any more than their paycheck and benefits.
Yeah.
And it didn't used to be that way. Government didn't used to be the best paying place. Well, that's changed, and it still, get this, it still hasn't attracted the best people because they can do a lot better in the private sector.
What happens in government that can't happen? Well, it does occasionally, but it doesn't happen as much in regular businesses, is that you can't fail up. You can't ruin whatever a program is in the government and then get shipped over to another program to ruin that for 9 years and then shift over to another thing to work out your retirement years.
Yeah, you never lose your job.
You don't lose your job. You just get shifted off to somewhere else, and the job was never done right to begin with, but you failed up. You failed up. You've got your pension, and then that's all you do. You spend those last 8 years in work just trying to do as little as possible to get as little as attention to you as possible and cut as much funds as you can out of the budget so that you can pinch pennies here and there, just so you can last out to that retirement age and walk away and you accomplish nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, that should be the motto for the Game Fish and Parks. Hey, we're the Game Fish and Parks. We accomplished nothing. So
I always call them Game and Fish Mismanagement up there in North Dakota. Yeah. And they are some of the worst people. Well, we can go down that rabbit hole. Hey, Doug, he says only the government can run in the red. Boy, ain't that the truth. And they're running deep in the red right now and not in a good way.
Well, when you can print your own money, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
one, did you see one
that
last
idiot thing? Who's in head of the financial thing? Oh, anyway, you probably saw that video. He talked about, he's trying to describe how government is. Well, the government can print money. He said, so we don't have this problem. I'm like, then this is the guy that's in charge of
this guy in charge.
Kind of economic whatever. I could not believe it.
Well, so one last thing on the NRA thing. If you lose a job in the government, you have major issues. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yes. Get back on topic, right?
We were talking back on about topic NRA. On the NRA. So, Christy Noem. And by the way, where is that here? What did I do with it?
I don't know.
Oh, there it is. All right, yeah. So, finally got my copy there. Today.
No
there,
going there go. Back.
So I got this today. So we're going to read through this thing.
Going back and give a reach around. No, I didn't say.
No, yeah. But you know, she's my governor, and we've talked about it. As far as Second Amendment issues go, we can't complain about it. Yeah, I mean she's solid, but it's a lot of other things that I don't agree with. I don't agree how she runs things. I think she's. I can go into that stuff all day long, but it looks like that she might be up for a job at the NRA, and they're talking about a big job, as a matter of fact. And we talked about that. What a face for it, as a matter of fact. Oh, she's got some wounds on her right now. If she's smart, she'll rally the wagons and she'll work her way out of it. But
it'll be interesting to see what the NRA does after the annual meeting. They have their board meeting on the Monday following. I think that's the 20th right. or 20, whatever it is in May. So I don't know if they'll at that time fill that position. They probably should, or if they'll let this guy who is Andrew Arla Nandem. I don't know. I can't pronounce. Yeah. I saw his picture. Looks like he's from the Middle East, actually, is what he looks like, but I don't know. But the guy, he was chosen to be the CEO in the interim term. Now, I know that he worked closely with LaPierre's office. I know who he is. I've seen him around there. I don't know what he's like, though. I don't know if he's got the same ideas, the same ideology. Is he going to stay the course of which to me wasn't a good course?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they need to bring someone new in. Now, in times like in the 90s when Heston ran and became mm-hmm. the president, he wasn't a silent president, which they do enjoy that. It's kind of just a, it's a figurehead. It's really right. The president of the NRA don't have a hell of a lot to do with the day-to-day functions. But Heston actually was hands-on there, and that did mm-hmm. bug some people there from what I understand. But your VP or your executive vice president, which is what LaPierre was, and Noam has a lot of face value, okay? She's pretty well known in the country, right?
Right.
She's very, very popular amongst conservatives and especially amongst gun owners. Yeah. So the 5 to 6 million members of the NRA, I would imagine, would not have an issue with her. Now, can she run the day-to-day? Because that is what your executive vice president does.
Right.
He runs, or she runs the day-to-day operations. She would have to be out there. She'd have to live out there somewhere.
And we've all talked about the fact that she doesn't want to live in South Dakota. I mean, she has always wanted to go back out east. I mean, that's
you think so?
Oh yeah. I'm sorry, but this folksy cowgirl thing is a beautiful op. It's an op-ed for her, but you know, and all that. But she is all about going out and hobnobbing with
she likes to hobnob, but I don't know if she necessarily wants to permanently live out there. I mean, she could have done that. She could have ran for the House again and done that. And she didn't. She comes.
I think, you know, but you know, she wanted the vice president, but we've talked about that. She's not going to be able to, because she doesn't bring South Dakota and North Dakota doesn't bring anything to it. We're already two states that are going to go.
And with the things going on right now from her book, she's not going to be chosen now, but I always said she was never going to be chosen. She could be considered, I suppose, for some kind of a cabinet position. Kristi Noem is an interesting person. Like I said, she's always been solid Second Amendment. I've never questioned her votes because they've been solid. They were as a rep. They were in a legislature. Everything she's ever held office in, her Second Amendment votes have been 100%. Right. Not a problem.
Things that I don't like is like the marijuana thing that we passed as the citizens passed here in South Dakota. And then she went around the back way and legislatively shot down everything that we voted for. Now, I don't smoke and I don't do it, but you know what? I know there's money in that, and I know there's tax money in that. And, you know, don't build me. I'm really going to take some people out here. Don't build me another church in this town. Build me something that's going to bring in some tax money. I know you're not big on taxes, but it's going to supply my area and do stuff and make it grow. I'm tired of
you know what I always ask the people who want to legalize marijuana? I don't care. You're going to smoke dope and fry your mind, fine. Right. But I also then have the right not to hire you, okay? Mm-hmm. But they don't like it. They don't like it when I tell them that. They think they have the rights and I don't. No, I have the right to fire you. But I always ask them this. That aside, I go, why on earth? And most of the people, let's face it, that want that, they don't really want a lot of government involvement in their life, right?
Right.
A lot of them swing on that libertarian side. No big deal.
No big deal.
I always ask them, then why do you want it legalized? Oh, because it shouldn't be illegal. Okay.
But it shouldn't be illegal, but you want legalized.
Government to make it legal, license you, tax you, regulate you, tell you how you can buy it, where you can buy it. I mean, think about the regulation. I've seen it up here just for the medical stuff in North Dakota. Plus, the price goes up. I said, right now, you have the most freest capitalistic system the way you're doing it now, and no one really bugs you. And the feds still consider it illegal. So I don't get it.
Well, for another 90 days, because they're dropping into a class 3, I think.
Yep. Yeah. But I just, you know, make it illegal, not illegal. But I don't want the government getting involved. If they legalize it, I want the government to stay out of it and let it be a free market.
And you know, I'm all about that too. But at the same time, you've taught me many times is that we live in a realistic world where as much as I disagree with what the government does, the government's there. And they're got their thumb on the scale. So there's a certain amount of playing the game you've got to play. And I don't like it, but it has to be done.
I can tell you one thing right now. Every time I've seen it on the ballot, I voted no. You know why? Because there's a tax for the government that's with it. I will never vote to legalize it if the government's going to take a tax on it. No, they shouldn't get anything off of it. Let it be a free. I mean, the only thing that I, and I don't even believe in business licenses to operate in a state, but that's what we got. I don't believe in the fifth up here. It's a $15 extortion fee, as far as I'm concerned, to be registered with the Secretary of State. But then let's do it that way. Get your business license and, you know, in North Dakota, file with the state on the Secretary of State, get your $15 license and open your business.
Yeah.
And then pay your income tax like you would any other business.
Yeah.
But as far as a separate tax, I mean, so for, I mean, think about this. The government has said, nope, 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 illegal, can't do it, nope, bad, bad, bad. Oh, guess what?
Oh, but we'll give you a license 20%. For it.
Yep, we'll give you a license. We'll give you the air. We'll tell you exactly how to do it. Then it's okay.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, we saw this with Prohibition. You've seen how that went. They had the, what did they turn around and do? Taxed it, regulated it, and licensed it. So, tell you what, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. Let's go ahead and take one of our breaks, pay some bills here.
Yeah.
And we'll come back and we'll kind of continue going down this road. How about that?
Yeah, which one do you want to hit?
Oh, I think we should probably do the double ad, and then we'll do our triple about halfway through.
Sure, we'll go ahead and hit it.
Commissioner! Yeah. I'm from the Athlete's Foot Band.
Brother! Hey, can you give my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake.
Make no mistake.
Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair. 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights,
Bloodline,
and the science behind gun accuracy,
Kinetics.
To some, it's just a concept. Constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
All
I
right.
Like that last frame there that's got our assault tumblers on it.
Our assault tumblers. Yeah. Hey, courtesy of Lauer Auto Repair. Hey, Axe did those for us. And they turned out great.
Those are really nice. Yeah.
Thanks again to Lauer Auto. This is how this show's powered, as we like to say. Guns in the 7-1, powered by Lauer Auto Repair, guys. So thank Doug and stop in there. And
you know, before we get on to anything else, I got one thing I actually brought home from work today that came in my prep for radio.
Yeah.
You'll like this one. A company that makes Swiss Army knives is developing a bladeless product due to the rise of knife crime. There are several versions in the works, which will be targeted at different jobs and activities. So your Swiss Army knife, I like that.
It's going woke?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. No, they're not going woke. I think they're being forced to produce this product and, but, you know, hey, by the way, if I commit a crime with my car, we're going to go ahead and give you cars without wheels.
So, but they're probably going to try that next. I mean, they're trying to get rid of gas motors.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, that's, but anyway, hey, I saw that.
Back, Yeah, that's kind of funny. I love that. It's bladeless Swiss Army knife. And yeah. It's not a knife. It's a tool then, right?
I mean, I can lose the toothpick. That's fine. It's the rest of it that I need. So,
well, Eric, going back to Kristen Williams, says she is popular in the Barbie doll category. So,
yeah,
I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'm going to kind of hit on something because I did do a little calling, did a little asking. So one thing about it is, of course, right now, her spokesman says, nope, she never said that. Okay, maybe she did, maybe she didn't. I don't know. Maybe she contacted the people. I don't know, and we're not going to know that because no one's ever going to admit to it.
Right.
But so this was what I got from a guy that, I still got connections there. Mm-hmm. They said that in the hierarchy or, your senior people at NRA, that her name, yes, was brought up. And it wasn't necessarily when I talked to him, he said, wasn't that she called me or called any of the other board members. It's just that we knew of her. I mean, he said she came to our annual meeting and signed an executive order. She spoke there many times. She said, and others were very familiar with her. And yes, he said, we did float her name out there. He said, but we've made no decisions. And he goes, she definitely wasn't going to be in the interim. He goes, me personally, he says, I didn't know if she was interested or not. So that comes directly from a guy that I can't tell you his name.
All right, that's fine.
It's kind of confidentiality. And yes, like I said, I did know quite a few people out there. Imagine that. I mean, I got involved with something and I got to know the people there.
Yeah, there you go.
It's nice to be able to pick up that phone, though, and still visit with these guys. And, when I look at that, as far as Wayne LaPierre, right now at this point, I'm pretty sure he has no pull or not much to right. even get somebody in there if he wants a certain somebody. And I think the board's going to do what the board wants to do. And I think they're going to look at this lawsuit that's going on, and that's what their decision is going to be made on. I mean, they did. What was it? I forget where I put this, but they did elect a compliance officer now into their bylaws. They voted to have a compliance officer. Never had that. And that's what part of that's going to be, is to try and satisfy the judge when this thing goes back into court in July. So,
can you imagine if we got a test tally up there to take over that job, holding an AR in her hand, saying, "You'll take it from my dead cold hands"? That'd be awesome.
And it would excite the base.
Got my vote. Test tally's got my vote.
I mean, there you go. And I know Vance. He texted. He said he was in a meeting out in New York City. Some production deal they're working on with the
Picante sauce. Picante sauce,
New York City. We'll have to give them some crap about that. But I guess, if Tessa's tuned in, I know she watches once in a while. Yeah. Hey, maybe we need to float your name there between now and me.
There you go. I'm telling you.
She'd be good at that probably. Yeah, but again, this isn't for the president. This is the executive vice president. So it's a real job. I mean, you are in charge of the day-to-days, and they do have meetings regularly out there. They have a big... up on the fifth or sixth floor, that's where the big boardroom meeting is, and that's where everything takes place. And it's an active place. I mean, it really is. So,
right.
I don't know. Was her name floated? I think yes, according to who I talked to. He goes, I don't know how extensively that went.
How far it went.
And he had no knowledge of her calling LaPierre. He says, I don't know. He says, I really couldn't tell you. I was taking some notes here, and I don't know, when you look at what happened now, with Kim Jong-young and all that crap, would that affect that? I don't know if it really would. I don't think the people that would be looking at her as members.
I think the 25% hardcore from every state and doesn't give a darn, and that'll be about 50% of our NRA membership doesn't care about that as well, and maybe more. And in the long run, I mean, there are so many things in a news cycle,
I can tell you right now, with the heat the NRA takes on a daily basis, this is nothing. I don't think
this is nothing. Tiny stuff.
Especially the board members. This is just a little blip and it'll be gone.
Yeah.
And personally, I said this last night too, I don't care that she shot her dog. I've shot dogs that were mean, running around, chasing my animals around here. The difference was they were probably strays. I know the one wasn't. Didn't care. The guy had been warned. I told him I was going to shoot his damn dog, and I did. He was chasing my cattle.
Yeah.
I've had to shoot cattle, you know, that were down, couldn't get up, you know, you do the right thing because you're not going to let them suffer. There was right. no, there was no fixing them. But a mean dog, if it's truly mean and can't be helped, yeah, you probably got to put it down. And I don't go to a vet. Now, I can tell you this. Our pets here, well, you know, you've seen the pictures. You've seen mm-hmm. the Nels post. We treat them probably as good as a kid. Yeah. And I cannot put down myself a pet that's been with us for 14 or 15 years. We do take that to the vet and have it done. So,
yeah, I know.
There is that fine line.
You got attachment to it. I mean, yeah, I just think that it came off too cold. I mean, I understand that's what she was going for, that she mm-hmm. can be detached enough to make the hard decisions. That's what she wanted to say.
And it didn't come out that way.
And it didn't come out that way because, you know, people have a certain thing about dogs and cats and all that stuff and their animals. And they don't think rationally. And that we've gone over that before, too, is sometimes, a lot of times, if people could think rationally or at least detach themselves from the emotion of a subject, they could have a discussion about all yes. kinds of stuff. But yes, they can't because they got to drag in every nasty thing they can and try to beat you down that way. And it mm-hmm. doesn't work in the long run.
Well, that says mean dogs should be put down. I agree. Now, I can tell you this. After we've had a few dogs here that we got. This is mm-hmm. way off our subject, but not every dog is mean. They have a people problem from someplace else. And sometimes that can be corrected, but sometimes it can't. Sometimes a dog is just they were probably abused so bad mm-hmm. that they can't come back from it.
Right.
And that's not the dog's fault, but when that dog can't come back from it, what else do you do with it?
Yeah, and here I am sitting with a mixed Chihuahua that I should put a muzzle on in the house. You know, love this dog. I do. This damn dog sleeps on my shoulders half the time. But, you know, it's, you know, anytime somebody rings a doorbell or whatever else, it's like Cujo popped out of him. And,
yep. Axe says, he goes, most of the people that are upset about her shooting a dog, they're probably also pro-choice. You know, you're right. Yeah. That's, you know, go ahead, kill a baby. That's okay. But no, you can't shoot your dog, I guess. You're right. They're
fur babies. They can do that to their fur babies. So,
what's Eric says? These idiots that are most pissed about it will support abortion all day long. No, but you look at a pet wrong and they get pissed. Yeah, same thing. And there's probably a lot of truth to that. I don't watch a lot of media. That'll surprise people. I do go and I look for things that I'm looking for. But as the most part, I don't watch a heck of a lot of media, so I can't tell you what was in the news cycle all day long. I hear little tidbits on the radio, but for the most part, I tune into my own stuff, or I have I'll download a podcast and listen to it. Or surprisingly, I'll watch something from the BBC. They report more accurately than our own press.
We talked about that a long time ago when we first started. I started working for you. And
you're the reason I started doing that.
Sometimes you got to go outside the United States for national news because it doesn't have the spin on it because they don't have any skin in the game. So they're not trying for the ratings on that or whatever. And you get a better look at something. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of going out of the country, our neighbors up north. Canada, they're trying to do some things, aren't they?
Oh, Canada. So the latest victim in Canada is not people. No, it is a particular gun, the Browning Hyde-powered pistol.
Yeah, wow.
They are David Pouliguis, a reporter on Canadian forces and military issues, has been following replacing and destroying, not just replacing, but destroying Browning high-powered pistols used by Canadian military since World War II. Most of the pistols were part of production run at the end of the war. The Canadian military has been working on the project for many years, and they are going to not just replace them, the Browning 9mm, which is currently in use, but destroy all of them too. So, I'm trying to see what some of the quotes are. The magazine of a typical Browning high power put in production in 1935 typically holds 13 rounds. They are forbidden in Canada. The highly restrictive firearm act of 1995 was passed into law as an extreme mass murder in Montreal.
Which, by the way, did you read the rest of that?
No, I was getting to it. So,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, what they're talking about, how a semi-automatic rifle was actually used to commit those murders. They're committed by Gamil Rodrigue Garbe. Did I get that one right?
Oh, Gamil or Rodriguez Garbe. Yeah.
And then he changed his name to Marc Lepine.
Because it's Montreal.
Because he hated his father.
Yeah.
His father had repeatedly beaten him and blah, 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 blah. So he had a bad childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll love this. They banned handguns with barrels of less than 105 millimeters, which is about 4 1/8 inches. They were banned. Magazines that held more than 10 rounds were banned. No handgun was used in the mass murder, but that's what they went ahead and did. The barrel length was specifically crafted into law to ban most handguns. Browning High Powers have, drum roll, 119 millimeter barrel with about a 4.7 inches, what that comes out. So remember, less than 105 millimeters, and remember, down the metric system. And the High Power has a 119 millimeter. So obviously it was geared towards that pistol and just about every single other pistol, even though a semi-auto rifle was used in the murder. So you should probably ban the handguns, right?
Right.
And that's what's happening here. So go on there and tell them what they're planning to do here, what was confirmed here in 2024 of April.
What was that? Because I'm looking at the fact that they're moving to the 9mm
Powers.
The 6 hours, the P320s. Yeah.
So here's what they did here. This started out in 2022.
Right.
And now in 2024, and it's basically confirming everything that David said it was going to in the beginning of this article. The Canadian military now plans to destroy all 11,000 of its Second World War era pistols by the end of the year. The move comes as the Canadian Forces confirmed it has received the final deliveries of a new 9mm pistol as part of a $19.4 million project, which is the Sig Sauer P320.
Right.
It's going to be distributed all its units. It replaces now the high-power Browning pistol that has been used for the Canadian Forces for decades. Now, what are they going to do with them? They're going to destroy them. Why? Well, they are described on the net by the Canadian military veterans as worn out, antiquated, heavy, and lacking spare parts. It may also, however, pistols are one of the least fired firearms in the military given their specialized role. Are they wore out? I don't know. I mean, I like how this was broke out. The service of a high power should be about 30 to 50,000 rounds. The pistols are nearly 70 years old. And they would have been shot about 500 rounds per year to be worn out. That's what it would have taken.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an unreasonable figure. If 10 people were qualified on each pistol each year, it could happen. Several of the veterans said that most of the problem that they experienced, though, with the pistols and their failure wasn't so much the gun itself, is that it happened with the new magazines.
Oh.
And then when a new magazine was substituted for the old ones, guess what? The problems went away.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they really are. The big thing is any other time, that wouldn't have been a thing. They could have sold them to the United States, which there's a huge market for them.
Oh,
They can get rid of them, no problem.
1935 models, I mean, you'd be all over that. And I don't know what they're saying about parts because, you know, you're going – once these go on the market, there are plenty of parts. I mean, think about that. I mean, not all of them are going to be completely salvageable, but there's plenty of parts at that point. And so
the ones that can't be fixed, they're going to salvage them. And then that's going to create parts. I mean, they have 11,000 of them. That's what it says here, right?
Yeah.
11,000 of them. Okay. And about, they figured, what was it? A little over 1,100. Let's see. 1,323 are non-functioning out of 11,896. Well, that's a lot of working ones.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of them, at least half of them would have parts to make other ones. So I don't buy it that they have to destroy them all, but we know what this is about. You know, you can't have the Canadian government sell them to an American distributor. And that's going right now. There's a war from the ATF on firearms licensed dealers.
Right.
We're bringing in, importing and exporting firearms right now. So they can't do that. Canada took a really hard line. With the Trudeau administration in Canada, and they applaud the Biden administration, I have no doubt.
No,
and they proclaimed that basically ownership of pistols are weapons of war. I mean, Jamie and we've all said what we thought of that over many times. By anyone other than the government, that's just evil, and eventually it will lead to mass murder and everything else, right? We're just horrible people.
I love that. I always love that term, is a weapon of war by anyone except a government.
Yeah, the ones who commit war.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I don't get it either. I do like what in the end of that article, and I have to put this in here because I thought it was funny. The historic pistols now will be melted down as a sacrifice to the gods of governmental power. I thought that was
a great one. Yeah.
That was just a great little ending that guy put in there, and I thought it was kind of funny. So
Dan Weingarten, I think, is one who wrote that. So, yeah.
No, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, so we get a few comments here. There's some coming in, and we'll see them all here. But let's see. Doug Thompson. Sorry, guys.
Here we go, Doug.
Like it's our first day or something this time. Had one that had one bite me a couple when I was at home. So he's talking about the dogs. But then he bit one of the boys. That wrote his one-way ticket. There you go.
Yeah, I understand that, yeah.
It does. And we had a thing up here called Measure 5 a couple different times in North Dakota. We did defeat it, but that was an extreme case of what that would have done. I mean, we'd have had to have a vet do everything. I'm talking everything. It didn't matter what we could have been guilty of a felony if we'd have put down our own animals.
Right.
You realize that? Or even give them a shot.
Oh, yeah.
With penicillin. It's like, whatever. So, yeah.
Well, we've got a mayor in my town who's a piece of work, as a matter of fact. And so he was the deciding vote for the city of Mitchell, as a matter of fact, to you don't have to have your dogs on leashes.
Oh.
Of course, we're not a farm town. We are surrounded by farms, and a lot of farmers retire here and whatnot, but we're not a farm town. So here, we got our dogs on leashes, and we walk them around, and we go here and there, and we keep them in control. Well, he decided that since his dogs don't need any, he can control his dogs without a leash, that the rest of us can too. Well, and it's just absolutely a stupid mentality that some people have. But, not all dogs are that way. And I got to tell you, if a dog is charging at my boy or my daughter or my wife, because I've had it happen before here in town. And of course, I was up on the roof one time and dogs came charging across. And you never seen a fat man like me jump off a second story of a roof onto the ground going after a dog so fast. But I mean, there was adrenaline in that. I mean, I was, I hurt later, but in the meantime, it's the thing, I'll kill the dog. And on that note, that's just the way it's going to be. I love dogs. I just love dogs. But you know what? When it comes to my kids, comes to my wife, comes to my neighbors,
Dog's a great companion. They're loyal. To me, they're better than most people. Like I said, they're actually loyal, if they're raised right, treated right, they're going to treat you good.
Kind of like people.
Kind of like people, absolutely. I always said, I think everybody before they have kids should have a dog.
Right.
And we'll see how they do with that. And then we'll see if they should have kids. Because I can tell you, if I've seen people that have dogs that they don't take, they don't give the correct discipline.
Nope.
Show that dog how it should behave, take care of it. And then when they get kids, they do the same thing, and their kids are the ones usually running around causing problems.
Well, they let them run roughshod,
Yes, they do.
And it's like, and I was having this discussion the other day. It's like, my son spends way too much time in the garage working on his truck and this and that, but I don't complain about it because my son could be doing out doing a lot of things. He goes out with his buddies and they hang out in the parking lots, different places, and they shoot the shit with each other and tell horrible jokes. And that's just the way kids are.
He's a teenager.
I expect that. I expect nothing less. But you know what? He spends most of his time either working construction when he gets out of school, when he's done with his work, and he's done his mowing jobs, then he goes do construction work with a buddy of ours. Mm. And then when he's done with that, he comes home and he works on his car if he's done have a date with his girlfriend. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's the all-American kid.
Man, sounds like he's living the dream right now.
He's living the dream. And he doesn't have rent.
To pay for a house
He doesn't
rent
have rent. Yeah, I know. But, he borrowed my car for some – he needed another socket or something that didn't have the right size. So, there's my card. It's in his pocket right now. So,
well, that's okay. That's what we grew up doing, and you'll see kids doing that a lot. Yeah, I tell you what, if they buy guns and collect guns, go hunting, and they got a vehicle they want to take care of, fix up, and maintain, they ain't gonna have no money to do any stupid shit.
Yeah, I know.
It's gonna be okay. So I'll tell you what, we're coming up. Why don't we do our triple ad? And then when we come back, I think that's a great time to introduce the badass of the week. And then we'll finish after that with our last little news.
Okay, cool. Well, let's go and do that.
Commissioner. Yeah. I'm from the Athlete's Foot, baby.
Brother. Hey, can you get my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Ever tried catching a fish with your bare hands or hunting a deer with a stick? Don't be that guy. At Mandan Sporting Goods, we've got all the hunting and camping gear you need. We're your one-stop shop for outdoor adventure.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Check us out at mandansportinggoods.com or, better yet, stop in to 210 East Main Street, Mandan, North Dakota. Mandan Sporting Goods, where the outdoors meets functionality. Store hours, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Closed Sunday. Take up arms at Mandan Sporting Goods. Your adventure starts here.
All right, welcome back. Hey, that was our big ad. Thanks to all our sponsors. Speaking of Mandan Sporting Goods, they're going to be opening up in a new location come June 1st. So
we're going to have to change around their spot a little bit because they've got a new location.
Yeah, we're going to definitely have to change the address on there. That's for sure. Yeah. So I do like the new building that they bought. I know what building it is up there. It's just for those of you in the Mandan area, you just go pretty much on the east side of where Runnings is at, go up that street two blocks, and boom, it's the old and innovative office supply building, I believe is what it was called, or Business Solutions. I can't remember. I actually used to go there a lot when I worked for the NRA and buy paper and get stuff from them. And yeah, so they were pretty good. But anyway, that's where it's going to be. So he's looking forward to that. We'll keep you posted. Jamie and I, and I know Mike talked a little bit about, we might try to do something live down there because I believe June 1st is a Saturday. So hopefully we can do a little live thing there and have some fun with it. I don't know if it's a grand opening, but it's definitely moving to a new facility. I think everyone's going to be happy with it. That's Mandan Sporting Goods. And, of course, while you're out and about, you might as well go down to Lauer Auto Repair, give another plug to Lauer. They are our main sponsor, and we can't do it without guys like Lauer Auto Repair and all the other great sponsors we have here.
Yep, I do appreciate them.
And we are looking for a sponsor just to do the Badass of the Week. It's growing in popularity, and it's getting a lot of views and a lot of replays, so it would be a good place to drop an ad in there, and it will be cheaper than doing the main sponsorship,
right?
But you're only going to get it during the Badass segment. So just a little note to everybody, if you're interested, we are going to be offering that here soon.
And that's, you can always send us an email at guns@gunsinthe701.com. Guns@gunsinthe701.com. So there you go. Speaking about that badass, before we get to that, of course, real quick, we've got, don't forget, coming up this Friday, we're going to be on K-Fire once again. We're going to have some things to talk about on that as well. Of course, we'll be there with Todd. Todd, what was with you last night?
He was. He had a good time, I think. Actually, that was a good show, and we're going to recap that here later. Before we end the show tonight, we'll recap on it. But yeah, Todd joined us, and I don't know if we'll try it tomorrow. I don't know if he's ready for that, but we've been trying to do that where we can get him into the restream, and maybe maybe we got that set up now, so then we can do that. Anyway, we're going to definitely give it a whirl here at some point. Right. But yeah, Todd had a good time, and I know we'll have him on again. Kelly did a great job, and he had fun with it too. So yeah, it was a good show last night. So thanks, JD, for setting that up, because he's the guy that set all that up for us.
And we had some guys and people. I was over when I was driving around. We are on Twitch, as a matter of fact. We had some people listening over on Twitch, and they were making comments as well. So I thought that was pretty cool as well. So, you know, it's amazing. There are just, there's all these different options for you out there where you can go and get your social media. So if you don't want to stick around with the with fascist book and all that stuff, you can always you got other choices.
I tell you, Rumble's the one taking off. You can't see the comments here. I still haven't figured out how to put them in here. We'll hopefully someday. I don't think that, from what I can see, it's not an option yet from Rumble. Mm-hmm. It deals with embedded codes, and they just haven't developed that. Just like you couldn't go live there for a long time. But yeah, we're getting there.
Rumble's only 2 years old, though, right?
Right. Rumble's in its infancy. I'm telling you, our channel over there keeps growing. The views per episode way outnumber the ones on CommyTube. Yeah. So just think about that on each episode, and I'm glad that we got a lot of followers over there.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We're gonna be putting more effort into the Rumble channel and growing it, because it keeps growing. So yeah, go over there. If not, create a Rumble account. Look up Guns in the 701. I did see something. Just touch on this. We do have a Guns in 701 channel that I didn't know what I was doing when we were first doing it. So I did the first one under my own account, and then I figured out how to do another one, and it looks like I can transfer everything to that other one. Right. So I'm going to work on doing that, and it sounds like it's not real complicated. If that's the case, that's what I'm going to work on doing and getting everybody over to that channel. So, all right. Anyway, so with that, I'll let you take it.
Well, we got our badass of the week here once again. And, of course, one of the things that we want to say on this is that there's been a thing out there, and they're probably right, that drinking alcohol does not help you with hypothermia. But apparently, if you drink enough, it can help with the initial shock of going into cold water. So we'll say that, and we'll go ahead and do our badass of the week if you're ready for it.
I'm ready. Go ahead. Let's
roll. All right. You badasses, it's time for Guns in the 701.com's badass of the week once again this week. And this week we're going back in time to around 1912 as we talk about Charles Joffin. Now, Charles Joffin was born in Patton Street next to West Float in Birkenhead, England. That was on the 3rd of August 1878. Now, he first went to sea at age 11 in 1889, and later became a chief baker on various White Star Line steamships, notably the RMS Olympic, Titanic's sister ship. Now, on the 17th of November, 1906, in Liverpool, England, he married Louise Woodward, a native of Douglas on the Isle of Man. They had a daughter, Agnes Lillian, and a son, Roland Ernest. Neither would survive the decade. Now, Joffin was a part of the Victualling crew. Now, Victaulers is traditionally a person who supplies food, beverages, and other provisions for the crews of a vessel at sea. Now, he was on board the Titanic during the delivery of the ship from Belfast, where it was made, to Southampton. He signed on again in Southampton on April 4th of 1912.
That was in the capacity of chief baker, and Joffin received a monthly wage of 12 pounds, which is equivalent to about 1,580 pounds today, or translating into American money, $1,979.11 a month. Now, when the Titanic hit an iceberg on the evening of the 14th of April at about 2340, or as we normally say it, at about 1140 p.m., Joffin was off duty and in his bunk. And according to his testimony, he felt the shock of the collision. Now, word was being passed down from the upper decks that the officers were getting the lifeboats ready for launching. And Joffin set his 13 men who worked for him to the boat docks with provisions for the lifeboats, 4 loaves of bread apiece and about 40 pounds of bread each. Joffin stayed behind for a time, but then followed them, reaching the boat decks around 12:30 a.m. Joffin joined Chief Officer Henry Tingle Wild by Lifeboat 10. Now, Joffin helped with stewards and other seamen, the ladies and children, to the lifeboats, although after a while, the women on deck ran away from the boats, saying that they were safer on board the Titanic. They weren't. Now, Chief Baker then went on deck and forcibly brought the women and children back and threw them on the lifeboats. The Titanic's final plunge, Joffin was at the topmost part of the ship at this point. Now, although he was assigned as captain of lifeboat number 10, Joffin did not get aboard. It was already being crewed by 2 sailors and a steward. Now, he went below after the lifeboat 10 had gone and had a drop of liqueur. And some say just a little bit more than a drop. He then came upstairs again, meeting an old friend, the doctor, possibly William O'Loughlin. Now, he arrived at the boat deck, and the boats had been lowered. He went down to the deck promenade and threw about 50 deck chairs overboard so that they could be used as flotation devices. Again, going above and beyond what normal people do. Now, Joffin then went into the deck pantry on the deck to get a drink of water. He heard a loud crash as if part of the ship had buckled. Now, he left the pantry and joined the crowd running aft toward the poop deck.
Hey, don't laugh. That's what it's called.
And as he was crossing the well deck, the ship suddenly gave list over the port. And according to him, threw everybody in the well in a bunch except for him. Now, Joffin climbed to the starboard side of the poop deck, getting hold of the safety rail so that he was on the outside of the ship when it went down by the head. Now, as the ship finally sank, Joffin wrote it down as if he were in an elevator, not getting his head underwater. That was his words. Therefore, making him the last survivor to leave the Titanic. Now, according to his own testimony, Joffin kept paddling and treading water for about 2 hours. He also admitted to hardly feeling the cold, most likely thanks to the alcohol content he had imbibed in. Now, the prevailing thought is that alcohol will not save you from hypothermia, but a certain amount of alcohol can imbue you to be able to take the initial shock of the cold elements. So take that, science. When daylight broke, he spotted the upturned, collapsed B lifeboat with his second officer, Charles Lightoller, and about 30 men standing on the side of the boat. Joffin slowly swam toward it, but there was no room for him. However, a cook, Isaac Maynard, recognized him and held his hand as the chief baker held onto the side of the boat with his feet and legs still in the water. Another lifeboat then appeared, and Joffin swam to it and was taken in, where he stayed until he boarded the RMS Carpathia that had come to the rescue. He was rescued from sea with only swollen feet. I'd say that's quite lucky. After surviving the Titanic disaster, Joffin returned to England, where he was one of the crew members who reported to testify at the British Wreck Commission's inquiry into the sinking of the Titanic, headed by Lord Mersey. That was in 1920. Joffin moved permanently to the United States in Paterson, New Jersey. He also served on the ship operated by the American Export Lines, as well as on a World War II troop transport before retiring in 1944. Now, after moving back to New Jersey, he remarried to Miss Anne Eleanor Ripley Howorth Cole. That's a heck of a name. A native of Leeds who had first come to the United States in 1888. Now, Annie's death in 1943 was a great loss from which he never recovered. And 12 years later, Joffin was invited to describe his experiences in the chapter of Walter Lord's book, A Night to Remember, which was also made into a fantastic movie. I think a little better sometimes than the Titanic movie. You don't believe me? We can fight about it. Now, soon afterwards, his health rapidly declined. He died in Paterson Hospital in New Jersey on December 9th, 1956, at the age of 78. And he was buried alongside with his wife at Cedar Lawn Cemetery in Paterson, New Jersey. Now, he was just a chef and a baker, but that's not all he was. He went above and beyond to try to save other people's lives. He was constantly thinking about the passengers and his fellow crewmen. And for that reason, I'm calling it. Charles Joffelin was a true badass. Once again, we thank everybody for tuning in for our Badass of the Week here on GunsInThe701.com. Hey, you see the little QR code up in the corner? That is a cool little thing that you can, well, scan, click on, do whatever you got to do to get there. And go to GunsInThe701.com, either buy some of our merch. That would be cool. We would like that. We've got some cool stuff. Also, if you want, you could just throw us a little cash, a couple bucks here and there, whatever you feel like and whatever you can spare. It helps us continue the show here, continue our podcast, and also keep our equipment up to date because Lord knows, whew, stuff ain't cheap nowadays. We appreciate all your help and appreciate everybody who's been following our Badass of the Week on GunsInThe701.com. And remember, if you've got a story for GunsInThe701.com's Badass of the Week, well, I got an idea for you. Just drop us a line at guns@gunsandthe701.com. That's our email. And tell us what badass you'd like us to talk about. We'd love to hear from you. And until next week, when we uncover another badass of history, I'm Mike. And as my buddy Clay always says, keep your powder dry.
All right.
Ready.
Great episode, man. You did a good job again. Always do.
And I like that one. So, you know, you wouldn't think that just having a little nip here and then, of course, I think he had a little more than a nip. helped him out. But it's a badass thing. I talk about that when a common man does a badass thing. I mean, he was making sure at all times that, you know, women were running away from the lifeboats. Well, he tossed them onto the lifeboats. You know, he saved a lot of people's lives. He's in himself.
Yes, and,
went off and continued in World War II, as a matter of fact, and still doing this service. So, just a good guy.
That was a great segment. And he really, like I said, I love what you're doing with. I think everyone does. Jamie, he chimed in here. He said, hey, he said another great badass segment. I couldn't agree more. So, yeah.
Yep.
We started it, and you took it. You took it to a new level. So, nice job, man. Got to give credit where credit's due.
Cool. I appreciate that because, you know, it takes a little bit of time. But, I've got a... I'm actually a little bit ahead right now. I got a couple banked, and so I'm trying to finish up another one tomorrow, and we'll try to get a few of them in there. So in case I take a vacation or something like that, we're not going to be out.
I did find that website you were talking about. I'm going to go ahead and put it up here and just let you kind of, I'll scroll through it and you can kind of let people know what you're kind of thinking about on this case.
So I came across this from one of our gun sites, and I kind of love these things. And as a matter of fact, I was thinking about maybe us maybe getting one of these, maybe having Bloodline Kinetics do a little bit of something to them. And there's the one down. Yeah. Like those right there. I mean, I like those. And they got holsters for them too. So yeah, I was like going, you know, and they're a double barrel. They're actually black powder, right? So they're,
they're a muzzle loader. They sell the stuff here. I was looking through that when you, and you sent this to me, and they sell everything you need there too. Yeah, look at that. There's the Diablo Desperado 12 gauge pistol holster.
Yeah, and something about it I just like, and considering how bad of a shot I am, I mean that's a great one. So
I love the optional wall magnet mount. I gotta love that.
That's always good. That's actually wall magnet or for your truck, you know.
So
either one.
So what these are, everybody, it's a 12 gauge, but it's a muzzle loading 12 gauge. So they've got the fiber wads, they've got the 12 gauge over powder wads. They got everything you need, except the powder. You buy your own powder, I guess.
Right.
And just, you know, it's double barrels. It's fun. You don't need an FFL or nothing. You know, have it delivered. They got wood, they got, you know, composite.
Is that it? Yeah.
I think they look kind of badass myself.
They do look kind of badass. And I was thinking about, you know, Bloodline doing a little something to that, making it look even better. So, yeah.
There, Jamie, you know, we wanted to do some kind of a Model 701 gun. There we go. The Desperado 11-inch 12-gauge double-barrel shotgun pistol.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. The 11 inch, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
So let us know, everybody, on that, what you think about this. We were thinking about doing, because you know, we had the flamethrower waffle thing, and that was a big success. And so we were thinking about doing something else, and we're just trying to come up with some ideas. So, you know, it's kind of a cool, different thing. Not everybody has one of these.
No, this is an AR stock adapter kit for them.
Yep.
And it's a folding stock, as you can see. I think that'd be pretty cool.
It actually is kind of awesome.
Yeah, and then you just fold that stock out here. You've got your 12 gauge.
Well, think about that for your backpack too. I mean, yeah, that's pretty good.
I like that.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
Anyway, just give us your thoughts. We're thinking about maybe doing one of these, you know, just to help support the show, and let me know, because if you guys think it's a good thing, we might go forth with it and give it a whirl.
Yeah.
But if it's not really your thing, or we got to be able to make money on it.
Yeah,
and as you can see, the prices on these are not exactly cheap.
No, but they like I said, they are different. And so if we did it, you know, it would be a nice.
My thought on something like this would be a $20 ticket, at 100 tickets, limited to that. And we'd make a little, you'd get a fun toy. I think, most of these are in anywhere from that $700 to $800 range, it looks like. So we're not making a ton of money, but definitely would help us out. And anyway, thoughts on it. If anyone is interested, we'll talk it over with Jamie too and see what he thinks. And we'll go from there, I think.
Always looking for something different.
Oh yeah. And this is definitely different. It's not your normal gun raffle. So yeah, I like it. I think it's kind of cool.
I like that. Yeah. So I think that'd be a good idea.
Doug, he says, what is a John Wayne movie rep Lobo that had an actor with a shotgun pistol? I don't remember it.
I don't know if it's John Wayne or not.
What he's talking about, but yeah.
Red Lobo. Or Rio Lobo.
Rio, yeah. Since I thought it was Rio Lobo. Yeah. I don't remember. I don't honestly remember that. But I got that. I got the DVD. I'm still old school. I'll have to go watch it now. Hey, Brian Warner says, great badass. So, yeah.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Maybe that's our badass model.
Oh, that would be a good badass model, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That would be pretty cool. Uh-huh. So, anyway, just another thought. Something different. Yeah,
be a good idea.
So we'll go and see what we do from there. I guess I'm going to do do we want to do this one with the Chinese illegals, or do we want to save that for another time?
Hit that. We got some time, actually. We're a little ahead of time. So, yeah, we can hit that real quick.
I'm going to start off with this. So this is this takes place, guys, down. Oh, here. Brian answered you. See, we got a great fan.
Real
Bravo. Dennis Hopper, I believe. There you go.
There you go.
All right, so this is the Mexico-California border, of course. Chinese illegal aliens are using Mexican IDs to ease their passage into the U.S. Imagine that. Who would have thought, right? Crazy. The trend was revealed in new footage that came out of San Diego at the border when a number of Chinese illegal aliens entering from Mexico this year so far has already doubled its total for the whole of last year. And we're only into it. Well, this was May, but those numbers are for April. So think about that. It has doubled for the entire year in 2023 in just 4 short months. That's bad. It's not the IDs. What's that? Go ahead.
The cartels are catering to this too, because it's a money-making thing from the Chinese government. Yeah.
Well, yeah, going through this, it looks like they're charging sometimes up to $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
Paying cartels to get these to get in there. Most of them are flying into Tijuana, but I'm just going to go a little bit into it. It's thought that the IDs are being made and sold by cartels so that illegals traveling into the U.S. from Asia and elsewhere can pass a check by the Mexican police. So it's not so much getting through ours, because they know our border is wide open. It's to get through the Mexican police. The documents are then destroyed or discarded by the illegals as they cross the U.S. border, making it harder for authorities to even identify them. And it eases their way for asylum. So I saw that. So I did a little, had to go look some stuff up.
Right.
I didn't realize that when you come here, if you got any kind of ID or anything at all, it makes it really tough for you to claim asylum.
Right.
But if you come in here with nothing. I mean nothing, you can come in with new clothes and cell phones and things, but don't come in with any kind of identifying documents. That makes it way easier for these people to claim that they're being oppressed or their lives are being threatened and basically
I've always wondered on that same note is like you talk about Guatemala and all these others that, mm-hmm. They're spending thousands and thousands of dollars down on the road. Yeah. And then when they get to the coyotes at here closer to the border, they're spending up to $8,000, you know, $8,000-$10,000 to get across the border. And you think about that, and it's just like, you know, that I never understood why they didn't just take a plane. Well, that's the reason right there. It's because they can't claim asylum.
Right. Because it's all about claiming asylum. Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. And why does this have anything to do with the Second Amendment or guns? I can tell you right now, especially with what's happening in some of these cities. I mean, they want to give illegals guns right now. Maybe even let them, you know, Chicago is kicking the idea around still of letting them serve in their police departments, and then that's how they can gain citizenship. But we're seeing a ton of illegals. They're getting over here. They're getting a hold of guns. And they don't go through background checks like you and me. No, they don't do it legally. They just jumped the border and committed felonies. What's another one? And they're acquiring firearms. And some of them are violent people, and they're using those things for a multitude of things. Robberies, murder, rape, you name it. The stories, the things are mounting up. You can find these just about anywhere when you search it out and find the stories as to what's happening with illegals coming. My biggest fear is the China ones.
Right.
And I'm not the only one that thinks this. Chief Patrol Agent Anthony Good, he's of the Border Patrol's El Paso sector, over in Texas, had told a Homeland Security committee that during a private hearing, agents were trying their best to figure out why the illegals are coming. But that information can be hidden, and their agendas and their ideologies, and all of it can be missed. And he basically, in that, is saying, we could be letting in terrorists. We can be letting in communist spies. Who knows who's coming across that border from China, because they have no way of knowing, maybe. Look, and they have no way of identifying these people.
This ridiculous thing with TikTok, you know, that they're, you know, going to stop TikTok and this and that and divest them. And like, yeah, you've got this coming across the border. You're worried about, you know, hackers from whatever piling up information about your kids and this and that. But at the same time, they're coming through your borders. We're not talking about Mexicans, Latinos and all that. We're talking about the actual Chinese. Communist Party is using the cartels and paying them big money to come over here to get past our stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, and I'll tell you how bad it is. By San Diego last month, they became the top region along the southern border for illegal aliens arriving for the first time since 1999. San Diego reached 8,989 for the week ending April 16th. And then in Tucson, which previously held that top region for crossing, they had 7,500 arrests for the week ending April 19th. Look at them numbers. I mean, right there, 16,000 people in that week of April. And it's not getting any better. Crossing in the sector rose from 31,562 in February to 33,784 in March. Now, that's just February and March.
Right.
It was slightly down from the 34,371 that they knew of in December. The big thing is, though, here, right now, all these numbers are leading to one thing. The numbers are up in the four-month period of 2024. They're higher than they've been for the entire year of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good. This is horrible. It's a bad situation. And I guarantee you there's probably not just drug runners. There's probably gun runners. Who knows what's coming across that border? Bad people, Chinese commies. This is a bad deal, and it needs to, I don't know. Even if Trump gets in there, he can get the border closed, but how do we find the people that made it here? And we don't even know where they're at, what they're doing, or what they're planning to do. That's a scary thing.
Well, you know, when we were young, and we were once, you know, remember the concept of sleeper cells when we were in our younger years? And of course, you know, we had sleeper cells from Russia and other countries and other things here in the United States. They were here to gather information, get close to different people in different neighborhoods, and not talking about the most affluent neighborhoods, just like, you know, at the Ford Motor Company plant outside Cincinnati. I mean, they had a ton of people that were, you know, around there that didn't work at the plant, but they got information from the plant workers because they opened bars, they opened this. There was all kinds of stuff that got exposed. But, you know, hey, it, 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 it doesn't mean that just because it's something in the past that it ain't happening again. A playbook is not just something you use once and throw away. It keeps going. If it works for them, they're going to keep doing it.
If it works, so, they're going to do it. And, yeah. and they are. It's been working, especially under the current administration and the regime in the White House right now.
And the same people that are claiming on both sides that TikTok, you know, is a danger to our government and our security are ignoring this going on our southern borders.
Yeah, they are. The TikTok thing is interesting, but that's a whole nother rabbit hole. It really
We got rabbit holes left and right, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be easy to go down that one. There's no doubt about that. So I'll tell you what, we're going to do one quick break. Then I'm going to come back and do a recap of what Kelly talked about last night. And then we're probably going to sign off for this episode. So hang with us. I'm going to do one short ad for our sponsors, our headline sponsors, Lauer Auto, and then, of course, Bloodline Kinetics just joined us.
Commission. Yeah. I'm from the Athlete's Foot Foundation.
Brother, hey, can you get my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a concept. Constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
All right. Again, thanks to our sponsors, Lauer Auto Repair. They power this whole baby right here. They've been mm-hmm. doing it since the beginning of the show. And we want to thank Doug and the crew down there at Lauer Auto Repair on 309 South Washington Street. Hit them up, 701-258-6308. Someday maybe we'll get him a website. I know I started a shell, but I don't think he really thinks he needs one. So maybe we
will. You know what? I think about it. If you don't have one and you're happy with it and you're doing okay, but sometimes, you know, you can get kind of big and fast and you know, not be able to handle everything. So, you know, he's just, how many people work in there?
I know there's three, maybe four. Maybe Doug can tell us. I know that I think there's three or four guys. You have to let me know how many is actually working there, Doug. Mike wants to know. He says he loves that brass dropping.
Yeah, I do.
So I'm going to give everybody a quick recap. And I thought we had a good interview. Jamie set that up. I didn't get there for most of it. I had a different meeting last night on a different platform. So I thought Kelly did a great job. He answered the Second Amendment questions, you know, directly, and it didn't surprise me. Kelly and I have known him for a while.
Right.
You know, I think he might even possibly, if his schedule works out, hit our 2A day. It's during the Memorial Day weekend, so I don't know, and I imagine he's going to be busy. I know he'll be back in North Dakota, but usually when them guys come back, he's in the middle of a campaign, so I suppose he's going to be hitting a lot of parades and memorial services and things. So might not.
We'll have a small parade. We, you know, get a couple of our trucks together and have a small parade. There
So it'd be fun to have him, but we could also invite him some other time. I'm sure Doug would be good with that as well, and get him out on the range with us. He obviously knows about shooting. Right. I found it interesting that he is carrying while he's in D.C. I don't know what it takes to get a D.C. carry permit, but I imagine a rep or, you know, anybody in the levers of government, it's easier for them to get one as far as that goes. But, yeah, he carries all the time there. He knew exactly what he was talking about when he was talking about shooting or carrying. Right. And you know what? It did not surprise me that he did well with that particular segment we did, because he is a Second Amendment guy. I keep telling everybody that. Yep. Whether you like him on other issues, I do have issues with the carbon sequestration crap. I don't believe in it. I think he's in the arena where he feels that without it, we can't have ethanol, we can't have coal, and I disagree. You don't cave to me. You don't cave to that faction up there in Congress. But right now, there ain't a lot we can do it with the regime that's there. Right. They're making law by regulating. So. Anyway, that's all. But that had nothing to do with the Second Amendment, which our show is. So right. I thought Kelly did a great job. I think that his voting record speaks for itself when it comes to the Second Amendment and firearms rules and laws and regs and everything else. And I think he'll carry that through in it as a governor. So I want to thank Kelly for coming on. Like I said, I think he did a great job. You're not going to agree with everybody 100%, everybody.
No.
You're never going to.
Even good friends don't. Even good friends don't agree 100% all the time.
Me and Jamie, you and me, we have different thoughts on a lot of different issues, but I'd say 85 to 90% of the time, we're right there in the same ballpark, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're ketchup based barbecue and I'm mustard based. I mean, that's.
There you go. So I don't worry about that too much. That's what, you know, you're never going to have that perfect candidate right now. And I probably made people mad when I said it last night in our after show after Kelly had to leave. We had Todd on, but I flat out said, I go, Kelly Armstrong will be your governor candidate in November for the Republican Party. I really have no doubt. Tammy Miller is a fake. She's a Burgum person. That's just enough for me not to even vote for her, honestly. But she doesn't handle herself well, honestly. I did watch that first debate. I agree with Jamie. I didn't think she was the winner, even though her campaign came out and said it. I think that Kelly overwhelmingly won that debate. Yep. And Kelly's got a good reputation as far as with the general populace, I guess is a good way to put it. And I think Kelly will be your nominee after the primary, and then he will go on to win the general election and be your next governor. I would put money on it. So that's where I'm at. I thought he did a good job. He's definitely pro-Second Amendment. I don't question his credentials there at all. I know what his voting record is. I've watched his committee testimonies in the Judiciary Committee because, yeah, I'm a political junkie, and I do like to watch what's happening in our Congress. But that isn't rhetoric. That's the hearings as they're going on. So right. I love watching them because you want to see how crazy some of the Democrats are. Watch those committee meetings. They're delusional, and they obviously don't know what the Constitution means. So. Yeah. Again, thanks, Jamie, for arranging that. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot of Kelly on the show after he's elected, because he said he'd come on and we'd be honored to have him come on and speak anytime. So Eric said barbecue sucks.
Yeah, I know.
He's the guy when we take with us on a trip, like a hog hunt, he's got to stop and get a burger. And not with cheese, because he's allergic to dairy. So it's just a burger.
Yeah, I know.
Simple. I know.
So I spent enough time in South Carolina and North Carolina. South Carolina, and that's a mustard based barbecue when you're doing it. So, and I fell in love with it. So it's me. I just tomato based. I'm just not into it. So anyway, but he just hates barbecue in general.
Yeah, and I actually don't really put sauces on. I learned when I got down there a lot traveling that a lot of, you know, every region's different. Mm-hmm. And sauces were a condiment onto the side. The rub was what was the secret,
right?
In a lot of that, and the smoke. And man, now I've learned how to do it here. And you know, we got to get up. You got to get up here this summer. Come to the cabin.
Coming up soon.
We are. So maybe we'll have to have a little Friday night when you get here. Maybe we'll have to do a little barbecue.
That sounds good. Me and Jack going to be up there. He's looking forward to hanging out with your boys again. And of course, he's got his. Well, my old truck, he's fixed it all up and everything like that. So,
yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it too. Yeah. Well, that says she is excited for Kelly to be our governor. Yeah. I think he's going to be a good governor. I do. Yep. And
by the way, I was reading a story the other day, and I don't want to go off on another rabbit hole like we said, that because of Noam's missteps with all this crap that they're talking about, is that it's made Burgum's stock go up as far as for VP. But once again, my wife's flushing the toilet again. Once again, I don't think that they're going to pick North and South Dakota because they've already got those states wrapped up to be a situation like that.
I would be shocked if Burgum ends up being the VP. I really would.
He doesn't bring anything.
Nothing. And look at that, a mosquito already. What the hell? Anyway, I don't see that happening. Unfortunately, I think Trump may put him into his administration somewhere, and I think that's a mistake. I hope somebody – I hope we sent a message, though, the North Dakota party itself at the convention. They did not elect Burgum and some of these guys to actually go represent them at the national convention, which is great. They're not delegates. Burgum's not a delegate.
Yeah.
That should have said a lot right there. And hopefully Trump sees that because Burgum is not one of the delegates. And usually your governors and your congressmen and that get elected that. And they did not this time. It's all different people. And we changed our Republican National Committee man. Yeah, we got rid of Gettle, which was a good thing.
Right.
Now Perry and crew and all them guys are out as far as holding anything in the party at the moment. But trust me, they are not sitting down and taking lying down. They definitely been working since we threw them out the first time. So, well, that says her Alexa sucks at spelling. I don't know. I don't have Alexa, so I don't need another thing to lowjack.
No, you have Danelle. Danelle, what's this?
There you go. So coming up Friday, we're going to be on Mitchell in the Morning. I think you're going to be joining me, aren't you?
I am.
All right. Mitchell in the Morning with Todd, KFYR, 5:50 a.m. Hey, you can't beat that. We got the biggest microphone in the state for those 20 minutes. Our new time, or our summertime, I guess you call it, is 7:40 Mountain, 8:40 Central. And I was kind of looking through some subjects here. I don't know if we're going to do them all. I do want to touch Friday, let everybody know on the radio that the NRA annual meetings will be being held in May. So I thought we'd give that information that Trump will be speaking. I've seen some other things here. You know, Ammo Land is a great source, right?
Right.
I've seen some of these things in here. I did catch this one where the New York gun prohibitionist convertible pistol bill could ban all semi-autos. Did you read that one by chance?
I got a glimpse of it. I never got a chance to read through the story. I think
that's a good one for Friday because they're talking about the Glock switches and things. Mm-hmm. And essentially what they're going to do is they're going to try to ban any gun because the manufacturers cannot meet the demands of this bill.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see if they do it because in Colorado, and we may have touched on that one too. I kind of like that. Colorado's assault weapons ban, guys, it's dead in the water, and I think we'll try to talk about that on Friday as to why.
Okay.
And as with everything, everybody, it goes down to Bruin now. Bruin was a monumental case that is now setting precedent, so I'm really happy to see what's going on. Another one is North Carolina. Them people, they want them to pass constitutional carry, and the Republican leaders are stepping up to make that happen. So that would be great. I think that'd make the 39th or 40th. I can't remember. I'd have to look that up as well, but it's right up in there where we'd have that many states with constitutional carry. And to me, that's near and dear because I've been involved in that fight since we started with concealed carry permits as the stepping stone for that. And we knew that that's what it would take. Yeah, so that's just some of the things we got going on for Friday. And of course, I think I'll try to do an armed citizen segment. I think we'll rename it to that. On the radio, I think the happy ending of the week is what was, some people take that wrong, but there's plenty of those things out there. And I found a couple great articles. One of them is actually, it's animal related in the armed citizen. So I think that'll be a good, nice touch. So that's basically what I think we got going on Friday. And of course, every single Wednesday night here, 6 p.m. Mountain, 7 p.m. Central, me and Mike are generally here. Vance joins us sometimes, and sometimes we even have JD in there helping out.
Yep. And when do we have any note on when JD's going to do another what his next segment's going to be on 701 Nation?
I'm not sure. I know he's listening. So, hey, Jamie, any idea when you're going to do your next 701 Nation? It's usually every other week. So,
right. So, and if there not, is
a possibility if we get one of the other candidates to come on, because I think Jamie was putting out some invitations, and we're going to try to get Rick Becker on here as well. Then there will be a special episode that we'll try to give you notice on. So
I was going to say, if I can get Jack to drive up, get out of school early enough, we could be up there in time to do drinks in the 701.
Well, that's we kind of mentioned that last night, that maybe we ought to do one during 2A day. But we'll keep everything. Okay, here it is. Jamie says next Thursday, 2024 UTV episode. So there you go.
There you go.
That's 8 p.m. Central. That's right. He went to his new time. I know we talked about doing that too, going an hour later. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
If we're going to do that. So that's right. Next Thursday, 701 Nation, and it's going to be at 8 p.m. Central time. Tune in, and he's doing a UTV episode. So don't want to miss that. Thanks, I know Jay. He loves his Kawasaki mule, and you're welcome for that. We got rid of them Polaris's. Oh, by the way, if you are interested in a shameless advertising, in a Polaris Ranger, what year is it, Mike?
2008. It's got 1,500 hours on it. Okay. It's got the radio and everything else. It's pretty much spotless. My brother-in-law.
Full cab, right?
Yeah, full cab and everything. Got a new windshield in it and everything else. It's really clean. He's looking to sell his. So, yeah.
So contact-
let us know, and we got pictures.
Yep, guns@gunsinthe701.com. You can email us. That's probably the easiest way. Yep. Or if you got my number, text me. I can get you in touch. Because Mike's coming up here on the 24th. He's coming up the night before. So if you're interested and you think you want to get a nice-looking older machine, and it is. I know his brother-in-law takes care of everything, really.
Yeah, he's all particular on that.
I think it probably sits inside when it's not being used, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, it might be something you're interested in, and in that year you probably get a good deal on it, and Mike could maybe trail it up here for you.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Let us know if you're interested. All right, with that, I'm all out of
info. I'm all out of stuff for now. So
that's got to be a first, don't it?
Well, we can always ramble, but no.
Yeah, we can always ramble. I'm not. You know what? I felt low energy Jeb tonight. I think I told you that, and I did. I felt it tonight. So. Hey, not every night's a winner. But
yeah, I know.
That's, I think we're giving good information, and we appreciate everybody tuning in tonight. Summer's coming, and I think the numbers are going to drop anyway, and we might have to consider going an hour later as well.
And that's fine. People got a lot of stuff. They don't get home until later. They got stuff going on, baseball games. And this
I'll
and
be hanging here in about a month, so I know.
Oh,
I'll
that's
be,
true. That's
I
true.
Mean, it'll be nicer if it's an hour later for me, too. So we'll keep everybody posted on that. I did update the homepage on the website, so all the new stuff's up there, and I'll get it updated as we do new shows here the rest of the week as well. So check everything out, www.gunsinthe701.com. We got a great store there. Thanks, Josie. I know Josie, he got a hat here the other day, so we want to thank him for that. Got a lot of great gear there. We got hats like these. We got other merchandise, T-shirts, things like that. With that, I want to wish everybody a great rest of the week. Tune in on Friday. Don't miss us. 7:40 Mountain Time in the morning, 8:40 Central Time on Mitchell in the morning. And we got a great show, I think, lined up for
you. And I'll be sharing out the tonight's episode of Badass of the Week separate tomorrow. So make sure to share that around all your friends and social media. Let's get some more exposure on that. So there we go.
Absolutely. Till then, what do we always say, Mike?
Keep your powder dry.
See you guys next week.